Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I don't know if this is a... it's not an audiobook, so I don't know if it's a book podcast, a book reading podcast. Either way, it's a little subcast for you guys for our Raw and Nerdy. I'm Joe the Widget, and I'm going to be reading chapter 2 of my book today. But I want to get into a little something extra for you guys. I want to talk about the genre that is Emperor of Quintania. Emperor of Quintania is classified as an epic fantasy, also known as high fantasy. But there is like a distinction between true high fantasy and epic fantasy. I'm not getting into that, but there are 18 subgenres in fantasy alone. There is no other genre that has more. Sci-fi comes really close, and romance comes close. But the main ones that you'll find in fantasy are dystopian fantasy, which is sometimes grouped in with science fiction. There's a lot of crossover between those two. High fantasy, which is Quintania, or epic fantasy. Low fantasy, which it usually includes unexpected magical elements set in an ordinary character or ordinary world. Indian in the cupboard is a classic example of low fantasy. Magic realism is very similar to low fantasy, but the characters show more elements and the world shows more fantastical elements to it. 100 Years of Solitude is a good example of that one. Sword and Sorcery usually focuses around your classic medieval sorcery and knights types of scenario. Harry Potter is technically in that classification, but Harry Potter could also be classified as urban fantasy, which is fantasy that is set in a modern world and environment, which usually includes things like vampires and druids, demons, and things like that. Paranormal romance, dark fantasy. A good example of dark fantasy is otherworldly monsters. It's a Lovecraft universe. Grimdark fantasy. The Court of Broken Knives is a good example of that one. Fables, which is usually supernatural animals and small stories in that nature. Fairy tales, everyone knows what that is. Superhero fantasy, fantasy of manners, cross-worlds fantasy. Alice in Wonderland's a good example, and so is Chronicles of Narnia of a cross-world fantasy. Steampunk, Arthurian, which is usually... That was actually created for the King Arthur story, so you can kind of see where that genre fits. And the other two, like sci-fi fantasy, which is also a subclassification of sci-fi, go figure. Star Wars is a big example of that. Wuxia fantasy is mostly Chinese. It's rooted in some Chinese literature, so Chinese culture. And those are your main genres of fantasy. So let's get into Emperor of Quintania, Chapter 2. I wasn't used to sleeping on a hard earth. Needless to say, it was a rough night. Normally lying in bed at night, I would hear the strange sounds of the house settling and various neighborhood sounds, dogs barking, things of that nature. It wasn't that way in this strange land. What I heard instead was the sounds of howls, growls, and scratching. Even once late into the night, I heard an animal of some kind scream just outside the cave mouth, and then a large crunch. And no more animal screams. That was a little disconcerting. Things like that kept me up most of the night. When the sunlight began to peek into the mouth of the cave, Rogart began to stir. I don't know how anyone could wake up so early on their own. It was just beyond me. Morning, John. Are you ready to get started on the journey to your new home? To be honest with you, Rogart, I couldn't be more ready if I tried. I gave him a smile and sat up. The next few days were going to prove to be very interesting. I could feel it. Rogart packed up his bag with all sorts of things and put out the fire with his fingers. With his fingers? I thought to myself. I had to make sure I wasn't seeing things. If you don't mind me asking, how did you just do that? Rogart laughed. Nah, I really believe you're not from these lands. It is a basic magic that every knight in the king's service knows. Ah, so you are a knight then? Yes. High knight to his majesty. I am a lord of one of the four castles of Wergen. I work directly for the king. You seem to stand up a little taller with these words. Okay, I see. Well then, shall we get started? This just kept getting more and more interesting. Yep, daylight is running thin as we sit here and talk, Rogart said and walked out of the cave. I looked up as we emerged from the cave to see the clouds were still overhead. The only good thing was that it was no longer snowing. In this land, I wasn't sure how long that would last. Rogart took the lead and headed due east back towards the road I had traveled to get here. The snow was about a foot deep. What is Wergen like? I asked, while panting alongside the massive knight. Even his walk was like a jog to me. It is the grandest city in all the lands of Quintinia. It has four major castles, each guarding a different direction of the land. The city lies between these four castles, and in the very center of the city is Mist Marble Keep. Mist Marble Keep is a large, 12-level building made completely of a precious stone called Mist Marble. Rogart stopped and looked at me. You're in for a treat, young John. I promise you, it is like nothing you've ever seen before. That's what I was hoping, gave him a smile as we continued. After a few minutes, we came to the road and headed south. If we're in luck, Hubert will be home and we'll stop for a mid-meal at his shack, Rogart said while continuing his brief pace. I had the privilege of meeting him yesterday. He's the one who gave me this dagger. I figured you got that blade from a Gnarlin. It has a look of their craftsmanship. Old Hubert is the only Gnarlin worth knowing. You're lucky to have met him first. We continued to walk south along the road for a few more hours until we saw Hubert's shack in the distance. Rogart suddenly stopped, dead in his tracks, and froze, listening intently. Hurry, John! Our friend's in trouble! Rogart took off like a bolt of lightning towards the shack. I followed as fast as my shorter legs could carry me. When we arrived, we found Hubert swinging his hands around Wiley in circles, yelling, Get off me, you little devil! What struck me as odd was that a high-pitched, almost squeaky voice replied, Not taking me your fish, you big dunderhead! Rogart stopped running a few feet in front of Hubert and began to give a hearty laugh. I stopped next to Rogart, still trying to figure out what in the heck was going on. Hubert saw us standing there and cried, Get this thing off of me! Looks like you got him under control, Hubert, Rogart said, again laughing. If you want any of my fish, you better help an old friend out. The little bug is getting on me nerves, Hubert said and grabbed at the back of his head. When he turned around, I almost began to laugh as well. With two tiny arms struggling to keep a grip on Hubert's hair was a little man no taller than the length of my forearm. The little guy was dressed in a tiny, bright red robe with the hood lying flat against his back just below his shoulder-length jet black hair. I was unable to see his face because it was buried into Hubert's shirt. The little feet were kicking his giant prey with all their might. I walked over to Hubert because, well, frankly, I was getting a bit hungry. As soon as I got close, a bolt of electricity shocked me right in the nose and knocked me back a step or two. Rogart doubled up with laughter. I had no idea what just happened, but I had read enough fantasy books to know what a red robe meant when I saw it. He was definitely a magic user. I noticed the water bucket near the shack. I picked it up, went down to the lake to fill it. When I got back to Hubert, he was on the ground rolling around and trying to squish the little guy. Rogar, too, was on the ground rolling with laughter. I tossed the contents of the bucket onto the struggling Gnarlin. He shot up like a bolt from the icy water, and left lying on the ground was a drenched little man in a red robe panting for air.
The big idiot weighs a ton. He nearly squished me. All I wanted a piece of fish for free,
the little guy finally said when he caught his breath. What the heck is it? I asked, looking at the small figure on the ground. I was now able to see his face clearly. He had a long nose and big mouth for such a small face and little beady eyes which glared at me.
What the heck are you, short stuff?
He asked while getting up.
I happen to be a member of the High Order of the Margistrat.
Then why do you wear the robes of an outcast, little one?
Rogart said after finally stopping to catch his breath.
The name is Verdinarius, but my friends call me Verd.
He said, a little insulted and ignoring Rogart's question. I found it strange the way he said friends. This time Hubert spoke up.
I've never seen a Margistrat so far from their tower before. What are you doing out here, Verd?
I said, my friends call me Verd. You don't come across as a friend of mine, you bloated clatterfish,
Verdinarius yelled. Hubert got up, ready to pounce on little Margistrat when Rogart grabbed him.
Calm down, old friend. You know the Margistrat have a superiority complex about them. I'm sure he means no harm. Let's all go inside and have some of that famous clatterfish,
Rogart said, still holding on to the defeated Hubert while walking towards the shack. Rogart turned to the little robed man.
You too, little one. I'm curious about you. I'll buy you some fish if you tell us your story.
I just wanted some fish for a poor, hungry Margistrat. But no, that selfish moron of a Gnarlin wouldn't give me any. But fish is fish. Okay. I'll talk as long as the fish is good.
Verdinarius looked around him for a bit.
Now where did that useless staff of mine get to?
I looked down at my feet and spotted a little stick no bigger than my middle finger with a tiny blue stone embedded into the head of the, staff. I reached down to pick it up.
I wouldn't do that if I were you,
Rogar said just before I put my finger on it.
Those Margastrot staves will give a lot of pain to anyone who touches it, who is not the owner.
Aw, I was hoping for a good laugh,
Verdinera said as he walked over to pick it up. We all headed into the shack and made ourselves comfortable while Hubert began to fry some fish in the fireplace. I was beside myself from the last 2 days of adventures. It was something I had only dreamt about, but it was so different from what I imagined. I felt for the first time in my life that I was getting complete inside. I don't know how else to explain it. What was missing, I did not know yet. Verdinaris began telling about his life story. As it turned out, he was born a crown prince to the throne of his homeland, Morganaris. He lived in the palace tower of the Tower City all his life, before he messed up royally. Pun intended. His father had been king of the Margastrat for nearly 100 years. On his 100th year anniversary, his people had thrown the biggest party the city had ever seen in his honor. Near the end of the night, his father requested that Verdinaris perform some magic for him. The only thing that Verdinaris never mentioned to his father was the fact that he rarely got the correct spell. Or the spell correct. His father had requested that he create a lightning storm in the main circle of the city. Nervously, Verdinaris stepped up, praying to the Great One, hoping he could hear him, and he would get this very difficult spell correct. It could mean the throne. You see, in Margastrot law, the son of the king is not the only contender for the throne. Any noble son, the same age as the king's son, was able to try for the throne. The winner was the one who displayed the strongest magic. Verdinaris feared the loss of the throne and the disgrace of his family all his life. There was only one other contender for the throne, the son of a noble family with a history of the condemned arts. Verdinaris tried with all his heart to give the performance of a lifetime for his father. The sky grew dark. Thunder began to rumble throughout the city. Lightning struck in only one spot. The throne. When the flash of light had faded, the whole city stood in horror as the ashes of his father drifted to the ground. Within an hour, the new king had been crowned, and Verdinaris was banished from the city, stripped of his family name and title. It was the darkest moment in the history of the great city of the towers, when the son of the Lentish family had been crowned.
There is only one way that I may reclaim the crown. I have to kill him before the second full moon of his crowning in Mar combat, in the sacred battle arena of Yimish. I have 2 weeks before that time is up. Now, may I eat my fish?
Verdinaris finished. He practically swallowed a fish as big as he was whole. Hungry, are we? I asked in amazement of how a little guy could eat so much so fast.
I haven't eaten in 2 days, Oddball. What about your story? You're too short to be a worgen and too tall to be an elf.
Verdinaris said with a little burp.
You know, I've been wondering the same thing about him,
Rugrat said and dug into his fourth clatterfish. I told them my life story, without a breath. I told about the plane crash all the way until I met up with Hubert the day before. I have no desire at all to go back to that land. It brought loneliness and trouble on a daily basis. I want nothing more to do with it. It has always been a dream of mine to come to a place such as this and live, I said, and finished my little tale.
Ha, my story is still sadder than yours, loser.
Verdinaris blurted out while starting on his second fish. I was only halfway through my first. It kind of tasted like big shrimp, but looked like a bloated golden trout. I never was one for seafood. After an hour or so, Roger stood up.
Well, since John is a human, a short one, but still human, I'm taking him to see the Worgen King for employment. You are welcome to come along, Verdinaris. The king may have use for you as well. Last I checked, we were still on good terms with the Margastrot.
Eh, sound like I have much choice, Rogart,
Verner said with a look of disgust.
Only my friends call me Rogart. You may call me Sir, little one. You follow my orders and stay close to me and John at all times. Are we clear on that?
What? Who are you to order me around, you dog-faced giant?
Verner bursted out with anger.
The one who will keep you alive, you little piece of dog kibble.
Fine, but at least let me ride on your pack for part of the way. My speed charm won't last forever, you know.
Verdinaris said, giving in.
That's fine by me. Agreed?
Agreed.
The three of us set off from the shack and headed along the lake towards its eastern shore. And that is the end of chapter 2. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time.